Well, thank you so much for making this service part of your Christmas celebration again this year. I recently saw on Facebook that Scott and Amanda Koontz were at the dentist, and little 2-year-old Tyler was asked by the dentist, "Who comes at Christmas?" And Tyler said, "Jesus." Yes, he's going to make a great theologian. That's what it's about. And when you think about it, as we've been singing, it was an incredibly big deal that God would become man. The shepherds weren't just part of a pageant. The wise men weren't just a fascinating storyline. These are people who actually heard and were there when God did the biggest thing he ever did by stepping down into humanity and becoming one of us. Why did he do that? We've got to review that over and over to grasp the importance of God becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ. Religion per se believes that we are saved. That is, we have salvation, we have eternal life, based on whether we're naughty or nice. It's kind of the Santa Claus theology. If that were so, why did Christ have to come to earth? Why did God have to become man? If we get to heaven based on whether you're nice or not, the entire scenario we've talked about, this thing about this evening, is unnecessary. I don't know if you noticed the graphic behind the songs, but it's a picture of Christ the baby on the way to what? The cross. You catch that? He came as a baby in order to die. Why did he have to die if salvation was somehow earned? We need to think about that, and so we're going to talk about the Christmas gift. Romans 6 says that our need is this. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There's two choices. There's something we deserve. There's something we get as a gift. There's something we earn, wages. There's something you can't earn. Which way is it? Is salvation a gift or is it earned? It makes it real clear. The wages of what we deserve would be death. We often speak of what Christ did as the gospel. I think every church that has a cross on it of any kind always uses the word gospel. And so you hear gospel, and it ends up taking a lot of different definitions. But the word gospel actually means good news. It's not good news if the way you get to heaven is through somehow crossing that line of naughty into nice. You know, if you make the 51st percentile, do you get to heaven? We have developed an entire concept in our mind because we're so used to earning things. You go to work and you earn wages. We get used to the earning thing, that it's so hard to believe that there would be something that would be so important that would indeed be a gift. But the only way it's good news is if it's a gift. So if it's a gift, what do you have to pay for it? We're going to think about that. It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we go by what we earn, it's that we've all sinned. Everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. In contrast, the free gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every gift you have under the tree this year was paid for by somebody. But it's always paid for by the giver, and it's always free to the receiver. Who paid for the gift? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The cross is the price. Our sin was so serious, it required death. The wages of sin is death. We've all sinned. We all deserve that. I love the verse in Corinthians that Paul talks about. The cost. Here's how it worked. God made him who had no sin. Christ, had no sin, to be sin for us. So it's pretty incredible to think that God in all eternity, the eternal Son of God, experienced only holiness, complete absence of and separation from sin, his entire eternal existence, and somehow he, on the cross, became sin. All of the sin of all the world, of all time, was judicially, legally put upon this one person who could bear it because he was perfect, and God placed all that sin upon his Son, and then it says that through him, then, we can become the righteousness of God. It's the most unfair trade ever made. The one who was righteous took our sin. And we who have sin get what? His righteousness. It's incredible to think that a trade like that could be made. That in heaven, our account eternally can be stamped righteous. No matter what we've done. No matter what regrets we've had, no matter what, how many people we've hurt, all the kind of things, it seems like we always have to tell ourselves, well, it really wasn't so bad, and inside we're always kind of propping up, but really we're pretty good because of this and that. And so we do this kind of gymnastics spiritually to say, well, I think I'm there. I think I got past the 51 percentile. I think I'll be all right. When all of that is unnecessary if we understand the reality of what Christ actually came to do. He came to say, that's got nothing to do with it. You've all sinned, you all come short, and you all are in need of the only gift that could ever qualify you for heaven, and that is to be given the righteousness of God. So, how do you get a gift this great? Our Christmas need leads us to the Christmas gift. There's a point at which all the shopping is over, all the wrapping is done. All the preparations are done, and you do what we call having Christmas. We've probably had that conversation tonight as you've come in and say, well, when are you having Christmas? Or, and what we really mean by that is, when are you, you know, doing the gift thing? There's a point at which you have to open the gift. If God, through Christ, has paid for your gift by the death of his Son, how do you get the gift? Jesus anticipated that we would have a hard time understanding that. So when he was here on earth, he said this, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That should have a little shock value to us spiritually. To realize, Jesus knew that we would be in the earning mentality. You got to somehow live up to qualify to some invisible standard. And Jesus says, no, you got to change. Change the way you think and become like a little child if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Kids have no trouble with gifts. They have no trouble with the fact that you paid it all. They have the theology of gifts really down. You give, I take. It's great. And the irony is that we've lost that when it comes to the greatest gift, because just as that 3-year-old child can't afford the gift you bought for them, we can't afford what God bought us. So we have to become like little children. Here's how you open the gift. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's everything from the manger to the cross. He gave his Son who died for our sins so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That term believe is all important because it tells us how you open that gift. There is a decision to be made. Just as the child, you know, maybe the first Christmas or two has to be coaxed, okay, open your gift. We have to realize that we have a choice to make whether we're going to open this gift or not. Because whoever does, whoever believes in him, has eternal life. Jesus said a little bit later, again, whoever believes in him is not condemned. In other words, we have this whole record of sin that we're well aware of, but if we believe in him, all that is erased, deleted. On the other hand, whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one only Son. God says, I gave you this all-important gift. It's bigger than anything that ever happened. It's the only thing that you have to know and have to do is to accept the gift I got for you. And the only thing that would keep us from that would be some kind of a, I guess, self-righteous pride to go, no, I'm going to pay for it myself. I'm going to believe that I'm qualified. And God says, no, you have to drop any pretense of thinking that you, by some religious act, by some effort of your life, you have to humble yourself and become like a child and say, I will receive the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I was 5 years old when I believe I made this decision. That year that I was 5 years old was a difficult year for our family. My oldest sister, Sharon, was 13 and was sick most of that year and then passed away from leukemia. So I knew in my young life a little something about death. And then a couple months later, my aunt got sick. She had back problems and went into the hospital for a surgery. And you know how it was in those days. Kids couldn't go into the hospital room, so I didn't actually get to see her, but I went with my folks, and I stayed with my grandpa out in the waiting room. And in my mind, I was associating the hospital, and it was that hospital where my sister had died. I associated that, well, evidently, my aunt's going to die. And so I remember a conversation where I was expressing to my grandpa my fears, and he explained to me the message that I just was trying to explain to you, that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And he said, Sidney, that was my name, Sidney, you need to believe, trust in Christ as your Savior. And so he led me in some kind of a prayer, as I recall, and I put my faith in Christ that night. Told my parents about it then afterwards. And so I know that I'm saved. I know that my sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did, not because of anything that I ever can or will do. Have you made that decision? I feel like as we think about Christmas, we can appreciate a lot of things that are around the season for us. But let's not forget the gift that was given. And we can't forget that we have a decision to make whether we will take of that gift or not. If you've already made that decision, then this is an opportunity for you to be just thankful. And I trust that you've had a chance through these worship songs to just worship and say thank you. If you haven't taken of that gift, it's a decision you can make right where you sit. It's not any magic words you say. It's not any place you walk or a card you sign. It's a decision you need to make in your own heart to say before you and just between you and God and say, God, I realize, yes, I'm a sinner. Doesn't matter if I have this much sin or that much sin. It's sin and it's a violation of you and your holiness. But I realize that you put all of my sin on Jesus and you punished Jesus in my place. And so right now I am putting my faith in you as my personal Savior. So I just encourage you, if you have never made that decision, just in the quietness of your heart right now or as we sing these final songs, that you would just express that to God and say, I am receiving that gift of eternal life. I'm understanding that it's free. So that's your decision. And if you've made that decision, then it's your privilege to live a life that says, thank you. That's what you do when you get a gift, right? We teach our kids, okay, you got it. What do you say to grandma? Thank you. And what do we say to the Lord? We say, thank you, not just by our words, not even just by our songs, but by the way we live in obedience to Him from this day on. So let's be thankful for that gift as the worship team comes and we continue to hear some of the readings of that great night. Let's be